All right. We're going to be reading in Ezekiel 47, but before we do, I'd like to bring something to the attention of those who are listening in cyberspace. I've finished a booklet, and the name of it is The Third Day Has Begun. And it includes five major chapters, which were formerly essays. The first one is The Third Day, and the second one is A Season of Preparation, and the third one is The Three Sources of Sin, and the fourth chapter is The Life-Giving Spirits, and the fifth chapter is The Crown of Anointing. Now, the name of that is The Third Day Has Begun. So I'll send it to anyone free of charge as an attachment. You email me at rbt5@cox.net. If you forget that, you can mail it directly to the church. But rbt5@cox.net is my personal email. Please do not ask me for a hard copy. It's almost 100 pages, and I don't have the staff to handle that. But if you get it on the attachment, all you have to do is open it and then print it out. You'll have it right there. So that's The Third Day Has Begun, and the accumulation of a lot of thinking, a lot of inspiration. Okay, we'll pray then. Lord, we give thanks to you for the good spirit that's here today, and your people are ready to march on. I can tell, Lord, they're ready to march. And so we're looking to you, that you will do your work. God knows we need your help today. And we pray that we all will understand and remember what is being said. In Jesus' name, amen. And that reminds me of something. When you see the things going on in our government and our world, they're quite depressing, I know. I get shook up about them as much as anybody. Do not waste one calorie of energy fretting about them or cursing them. What should you do?
Pray.
Exactly. Now, we're coming close to the ministry of the two witnesses. And that's a worldwide ministry, a revelation to the nations. Ordinarily, prophecy is for the assembly, but that prophecy is for the world. And I don't care what it is, when you see something that bothers you, I saw a lot of them this week that bothered me, pray right then, take it to God. You say, oh, he won't hear. He'll hear. And the Bible says in John 14, you shall ask what you will in my name, and it shall be done. Now, that's the word of God, and it can't be broken. And so when you see things going on in wherever it is, Ukraine or Iraq or Israel or whatever, and pray and ask God what you want done. Now, I know that, and I've told you for probably 2 years, more than that, by prophecy, that God is going to take America down because of abortion and sexual practices that are unscriptural. And he's doing it, and he has his way of doing it. So in the process, we see our nation, which is beloved of all of us, going to pot and foolish things being done. And we can't stop that because we have to look to the Lord so he can tell us what he will do and what he won't do. And there's a lot of things he will do if you pray. Things that are just terrible. Like cutting the heads off little children. You know, that's not part of taking down America. That's a revival of the spirit that was in Hitler, to kill people just to show that you can, I guess. So that's worthy of prayer. And if you pray about it, God will hear an answer. That's what his word says. Now, when it comes to things in America, there'll be some things that will happen that our nation may go bankrupt or whatever happens. It's because of sin. And there's nothing we can do about that except to save ourselves and our loved ones by living close to Jesus. That's what God tells me all the time. Get close to Jesus. Get close to Jesus and you'll survive. And those you pray for will survive. I don't care what happens. You will survive because that's God's word, 91st Psalm. But don't in any instance waste your time cursing the Taliban or the ISIS or Iran or anybody else. Don't spend one calorie of energy on it. Pray the way you think you want things to go. Pray for Israel. And God will hear your prayer. God will hear your prayer. But he's not going to listen to you cursing because it's bad out there, you know. But he will hear your prayer. So I just felt I should tell you that so you won't go down cursing and angry with people and everything. It is not people who's behind this. It's Satan. And so to curse the people does no good at all. Satan enjoys it. So don't give him that pleasure. Just say, Lord, save those little children. Bring them straight into the playground where there are children. And give the ISIS some kind of conscience so they don't do the things they do. And he will hear it. God will hear it. So have faith. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you can change that, you can lift up the rock of Gibraltar with one hand. You can't change it. It's Jesus' word, and it shall stand. All right. Now we prayed. Now we're going to read Ezekiel 47, 3 through 12. I know we've read this before, and I want to explain once more the meaning of it because it's very pertinent to us today. So we will understand why, what we're doing here. All right, here we go. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee-deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to no one could cross. He asked me, Son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, the water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the something.
When it empties into the sea,
when
the water there becomes fresh.
Fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there
and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live.
Fishermen
can stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. Now you can find the same thing in Revelation 21. You see the river, you see the trees, you see the fruit of the trees, you see the leaves for healing. This is talking about the revival that's coming, well, the kingdom that's coming, and all the blessing. Now, this is the important thing to understand. All that blessing is for the people of the world. See, that's difficult to grasp, because in the mythology that's preached, we get everything, you know. We die and go to heaven, and we walk on streets of gold, and we have golden slippers, and we play harps and all that. Well, people, we've got to revise our thinking, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But you see, when you read in Revelation, what you're seeing there is, first of all, the New Jerusalem, and that is the church, the royal priesthood, the life-giving spirits. That's what the New Jerusalem is. And the nations of the earth, the people that God saves from the nations, walk in the light of the church. And you see, that's what Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And that's when it comes to pass, Benny, in Revelation, you are the light. The church is the new Jerusalem. And the people on the outside are people who have been saved. As it says up here, the river goes down, and every place it goes, brings life. That's talking about the church when it becomes one in Christ, in the Father. Then the world will believe in Christ, and many people, many, will receive Christ. They will receive eternal life. Not everyone, unfortunately, but those who will can receive life, and they'll receive it from you. That is what it's all about, is getting us ready to minister to mankind. God loves the world. You don't have to look at me like that, Linda. It's the truth. God doesn't love only Israel. Israel, beginning with Abraham, is the beginning of the Christian church. That's the beginning of it. The anointed people of God call out from the world so that they can bring God to mankind. That's the whole purpose of Israel, is to bring God to mankind. Now, you and I come along, we were grafted into that tree. We are not a Gentile church. We are grafted into Israel. We are part of Israel. Abraham is the father of all who believe. When the Christian church started off, it was thousands of Jews keeping the law of Moses. That was the first Christian church in the book of Acts. And then God moved on Peter and Paul and others and sent them out to preach to the Gentiles. Well, that was unheard of. And a lot of the Jews did not like it, and they wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses. And so it caused Paul a great deal of grief because they beat him and everything they could think of to shut him up. They went from city to city after Paul to get him stoned. That's what the Jews did. The students of Gamaliel. So that's the picture. Now it's, is it possible for the Jews to be saved? You know, we've got it upside down. The Jews are the ones that started. And God never, never changes. The reason he never changes is because he knows the end from the beginning. So he makes his decisions in terms of what will be true thousands of years later. So we, you and I, are heirs of the Jewish salvation, but we're just as much Israel as Belinda. Just as much. I don't know what she thinks of that. I don't know. Belinda's here to remind us what it's all about. Now, all right, if that's true, then we see that going through, we are going to go through this river. And that river is the river of eternal life. And it appears in Revelation 22, I think, in the first couple of verses. All right, that's where we are. We begin at water to the ankles. And that is talking, and then there's a judgment. See, the man with the line in his hand. And when you get first saved, God wants you to straighten up. Now, I was in the Marine Corps, and 18 years old, I was 19 when God called me to preach, still in the Marine Corps. I was 18 years old. And a typical jarhead, and things began to change. I knew to quit drinking beer. Nobody preached holiness to me. I knew Christians shouldn't drink beer. And so I quit that, and I quit bad language. And Marines stand guard at the movies. They stand guard everywhere. So instead of watching the movies, I would stand with my back to the movie. See, that I was showing the Lord that I was really serious about this Christian business. So there was some judgments there. You don't go up to the slop shoot and drink beer. You don't do that. You don't use bad language. You have to forgive your enemies, blah, blah, blah. So there is a man with the line in his hand when you're only in water to the ankles. Now, let me throw in something here. Not all, now, are you listening? Not all Christians who say they are born again are. To be, and it isn't a matter of who is religious and who isn't. It's the way that you came to Christ. You see, John 3:5 says you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And there are many, many Christian churchgoers who are good people, some of the hardest workers in the church, and they like the church and they like its activities. But they've never been born of the Spirit and they don't know it. They don't know it. And so, when we take communion today, I want you to meet the Master. You see, we've concocted a religious phrase called accepting Christ. It's not found in the Bible. The closest thing to it is in the first chapter of John, the Gospel, in the 12th verse. And it says, as many as received him. Now, many people have made a religious, to suit their church, and to be one of them, they have said, I accept Christ. That's not Bible. You break out your computer and run a search on accept Christ, and you won't find it. What many people have done is have said, oh yes, I accepted Christ, but they have never received Christ, Gideon. You have to receive the man. And when you do, you're born again. See, being born again is not talking about accepting Christ. Birth is birth. And it is not a figure of speech, meaning you have made a theologic pronouncement. That's not birth. That's conversion. Now, we've had births around this church in the last year, and so I guess most of us know what a birth is. I don't see Rebecca's a little treasure, but RJ is here with his mother and dad, so that's something. And I don't know what happened to our Filipino baby. What is she just keeping him home? What are they doing? Benny afraid he's going to get measles or something? Well, it's better than taking the child to the movies to make sure he gets the flu or measles. Yeah, I don't think people, you do it as you like. And I'm not going to lay down any fatwa, but I don't think we should go to the movies. I don't think a Christian. I'm not talking about church members that have accepted Christ. I'm talking about people that have met the man. And if you can picture Christ sitting in the movies with you, listening to the filthy language and the innuendos, and you're happy with Jesus next to you, you're deceived. He's not going to be there. And don't expect movies in heaven, because there's not going to be any there. I haven't been to a movie in years. I look at the internet. Sometimes people send me a link to go up, like I was telling Belinda about Anita, there that Valerie, I guess, sent it, about Anita Dittman. That's worth seeing. But to go with all these whores and their filthy language, and you sit there, Jesus isn't with you, I'll tell you right now. And not only that, but now that contagions, you see, our borders open, so contagions being brought across. And I'm not cursing that either. I'm praying God will close the border, because we're getting an awful lot of youngsters who have never been vaccinated, and where measles and there's a couple others, rubella, and a couple others abound. And they're coming across our border, and now we've got a epidemic of measles, which was supposed to be wiped out. But when you open up your borders to people that don't have the same health standards, you're going to have problems. Okay, they're still children. They still need to be loved and cared for. But these people, these children, are going to go to the movies, and you're going to go in there, and you're going to expose yourself and your children to measles and influenza and rubella and whatever else they bring across. Come on. Is that common sense?
Yeah.
If you want to go there, you know, influenza can kill you. It can kill you. One of the greatest deaths that ever happened in America was the time of World War I. Millions of people died from the flu. So the scientists worked like mad to get vaccinations, but then these little germs evolve. And so now the flu shot works, kinda works. But you're smart if you keep away from crowds of people unless you have to be there for some reason. You don't go and sit there and listen to the S word and the F word and damn this and damn that and Jesus Christ this and Jesus Christ that by people. Oh, well. I'm talking about the water to the ankles. And there's a judgment there. And when you don't behave yourself, you're going to end up in the hospital. There's a judgment that goes there. Then we come to the second level, which is water to the
knees.
Three people can read. Water to the knees. Now that means you're deeper in what?
The Spirit.
In the Spirit, which means you're going to be judged more strictly. Now, I'm going to read you a Bible verse. This is in the Bible, and you won't believe it. You won't believe it. And Marla is by the same man who wrote John 3:16. Same writer. Okay? And he hadn't backslid. He hadn't got into the fantasy realm. But you still won't believe it. And this is what he said. You know, this is such a watershed. It's such a paradigm shift in Christian thinking. And right now, what I'm preaching, at least 1,000 people, at least that, because I'm tracking on the Google Analytics. Read what I'm writing. Listen to the tapes. At least 1,000. I forget how many there was in January, but it's up there. You ready? You got your seat belt fastened. Roy, are you prepared? Roy's prepared. All right. All the girls back there, Esther, Nancy, and the little one. Something. I know her name like I know my own, but. This happens at age. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Karen, that's completely the opposite of what is preached in the Christian churches. And then John gets worse. You ready? You're going to have to change your whole Christian perspective because, see, we've been taught that you have to sin. Guess where that teaching came from? It didn't come from heaven. This is God's word. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. That is absolutely the opposite of what is taught throughout Christendom. Somewhere, John, Christian people have... I get brought and bought. Which do I want? Bought the lie that we have to sin. Well, I'll tell you, people, and I'll explain this in a moment if I have time. We are entering the third day. There's 3 days. The first one is, the first account is Hosea chapter 6, Lloyd, verses 1, 2, and 3. Come, let us return to the Lord. I know you can read, but there's people listening. He has torn us to pieces. Isn't that pleasant? But he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. That's the best part of getting torn up, is you get bound up. After 2 days, I said we're entering the third day, it has begun. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Hallelujah to God. Well, you might say that's kind of, you're drawing a long bow to go back there to Jose, the Mexican prophet. But listen to the next one. Luke 13, verse 32. And see what you think of this. Hold on, Hal. It gets better. Go tell that fox. The fox is Herod. And Jesus is speaking here. I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. And what did Hosea say? We will live in his sight. Do you know why? Because on the third day, we are going to get the second half of redemption. The first half of redemption is the forgiveness of our sins. The second half of redemption is the removing of the urge and the practice of sin. Redemption that is limited to forgiveness is no redemption at all. Its only use is to encourage people to come to God as they are and forget their past. God has wiped them out through the blood of the cross. But if those people continue to sin, what good has it done God? What good has it done other people? What good has it done us? What good has it done the people in heaven if they're still sinning? So redemption has two goats. You know that, don't you? Leviticus 16. The first goat was killed, and his blood was sprinkled upon and before the high altar there, the Ark of the Covenant. But there was another goat. He was not killed. He was out in the courtyard, and here came the high priest with his turban and his all his apparatus and everything else, came striding out, and he laid both of his hands on the head of that goat. With all Israel listening, oh God, we have committed adultery. Oh God, we have stolen. Oh God, Israel has lied. Israel has broken your Sabbath. Israel has taken your name in vain. Oh God, have mercy on us. And he went on like that until he had covered all the bases. And then they had what the Bible describes as a fit man, which we could call the handyman or the janitor, whatever. And he took that goat by the collar and led him out into a place that no one knew. It says, into a land not inhabited. And what do you think the people of Israel who had lied and stolen and broken the Sabbath and taken God's name in vain, what do you think they thought when they saw that goat with all their sins on his head, led away by the fit man into the wilderness? What do you think they thought in their mind? I beat my wife, but there it goes. I violated the Sabbath, but there it goes. Isn't that marvelous? God has ways. You know, I took your name in vain, Lord, but there it goes. That ceremony of the Day of Atonement took place every year. Why? Because after that goat went, they still beat their wife and they still did these things because of the sin of the world, which is one source. This living sin that lives in us, lives in our flesh, that can talk intelligently, you know, you can say to it, what's your name, and it'll tell you. And the third source of sin, which is our fallen nature, our self-will. We don't want to obey Christ that much. A little bit's okay, but not in everything we do. We're just human. Man's got a sin. Those three sources of sin in your life and my life, God wants them dealt with. And because the third day has begun, because that is true, and Jesus has healed the sick and cast out devils, but now he is going to be made perfect. Now he's going to be made whole, and his body will live, because he has assigned the power of the Spirit of God. The waters to the waist, it means it's to the soul of man. It's not talking now about the world. It's not talking now about the sins that live in his flesh that Paul had such a time with. It's talking about the soul, the man who he is. Not the sin that's binding him, but himself. And God says, I want that dealt with. I want all three areas dealt with because I want you to be a life-giving spirit. And in order to be that, you cannot walk in sin. And that's why 1 John says, verse 3:6, no one who lives in him. He didn't say no one who has accepted him or no one who has received him. But no one who lives in him. And that means that all your conscious moments, you are living in the presence of God. I tell you the truth, his hand has been so strong on me in the last 6 months, I can't even read. And I'm a great reader. But there's too much up here. You know, to go reading something is to depart from the Lord for me. I'm not laying that on you. This is a personal testimony, so you know what you're getting yourself into. But it's up here all the time. The pressure, the pressure, the pressure. I must have been awake about a fifth of the time last night, running this all through my mind. What do they need? What do they need to hear? And one of the primary things the Lord told me they need to be born again, some of us don't have the crown of anointing within them. I'm not going to recite names. I couldn't if I wanted to. I'm just telling you what God laid on my heart. And also, I'm speaking to a lot of people out here in cyberspace. They wonder, what's wrong? Why don't they fit? Why are other people seem different? I've never met the Master. When I accepted Christ, it was in a Quonset hut on Hawaii. And I already had it in my heart, but the man wanted to go through the routine, so I agreed. And I walked out of that Quonset hut, and it must have been about 9 in the evening, something like that. The chaplain had preached. I mean, everything was different. The stars were different. Everything was different. See, this religious conversion is one thing, but to be born again, which is really a conception. And my mother was living in Los Angeles, and I wrote to her to tell her I'd become a Christian. And she wrote to me before she got my letter. Our letters crossed in the mail. And she said, I woke up in the morning and there was a man in white standing at the foot of the bed. And he said, I've been reborn and renewed. Being born again is more than saying, I accept Christ and putting up your patty. You know, sometimes people will prophesy in church. And it troubles me. It doesn't sound right. And so the king of Israel, Ahab, brought together the prophets, about 400 men that ate at his table, King Ahab. And he asked them, shall I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or shall I refrain? 400 prophets, they answered, for the Lord will give it into the go, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. This is 1 Kings 22, verse 6. But Ahab was killed in that battle. Now you say these men were all phonies. They weren't phonies. I don't believe. I believe that most of them, maybe all of them, were absolutely sincere men. And they had heard someone prophesy and they tried it and it worked. But they had never met the man. There was one prophet, Micaiah. So the king of Judah said, don't you have anyone else in here? He could smell it. It was wrong and he knew it because he'd had real prophets around him. And Ahab said, yeah, we have Micaiah, but he never prophesies good about me. True prophet. And the king of Judah said, let not the king say so. So King Ahab wanted the assistance of Judah, so he sent for Micaiah. And Micaiah says, first thing he says was, go, yes, you're going to win. And the king Ahab said, I want you to tell me what God is saying. See, even he knew he was living with a bunch of men that were churchgoers. What would you call them? And Micaiah said, I saw all Israel like a sheep without a shepherd. King says, take him away and feed him on bread and water until I return in victory. And Micaiah says, listen, all you prophets, if he returns at all, then the Lord has not spoken by me. What are you saying? I guess it's one theme. Make sure that you know the Lord, that you really know the Lord. You're not just going through the church rituals, but you know Jesus. You've met the man. We're going to be taking communion in a few minutes, and that's an excellent time. Forget your friends. Forget everything you've ever heard or known. Just say, God, I want to be born again. I want to be born of Christ. I want to be born of the Spirit, Lord. I love the church and I love its ways and I love the people, but I'm not sure I love you. Can't hurt, no, might help. God laid that on, and you know, this may be for no one in this room, no one in this room, just for some poor dude out in the cyberspace somewhere hears it and says to her husband, you know, I've gone to your church with you to please you and everything, but I don't really know the Lord. Maybe someone like that's out there, but I know God sure laid it on my heart. Or else I lost sleep for nothing. The third day. That's an old essay, Bill. You'll see it. But I incorporated it in this new booklet. And here's something. You know, 1 Peter 2:9, speaking to Gentiles, says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know what holiness is? The freedom from unclean spirits and the presence of God's Spirit. That's what holiness is. God's spiritual possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's 1 Peter 2:9. And then Ephesians, the fifth chapter, says, 15th verse, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The King James says, redeem the time. Now, Bill, have I got 5 minutes?
Well, I agree.
Better be quick. I got to thinking about our young people, and when I say that, understand I'm talking to you and another 1,000 people out there we can't see. But we, in many cases, are letting our young people down because we don't realize in the electronic games. I don't know what Xbox is. I see it advertised. It's a Microsoft product, and they've got it now lined up, and it shakes hands with Windows 10. Now, this is multiplying. Now, these software people, they're pushing the things that make money. And if you look at some of these games and things, now, none of us in here, there's no witches in here, are there? No one who practices witchcraft? Well, these games are full of witchcraft and violence. And I know if you tell your child you can't look at them, they're going to say, I hate you and Dad and will forever. I know that. Because they already have the seed of rebellion in them. The seed of rebellion is in these games. And here's some alternatives for young people that I thought up in the early hours of this morning. Ham radio. You can do a lot of good with that. And reading. And astronomy. Robotics. Weightlifting. Inventing. Samuel Colt was on a ship and he was watching the helmsman. And as the big wheel went around there that steered the ship, he noticed that at any point in that wheel, it would come up eventually and be right there and then go on. You know what he invented? You know what Samuel Colt invented? The revolver. I take blood pressure pills, and they have to be split in half. Whoever thought of that? And the splitter needs reinventing. It never divides them in half. Never. You'll end up with one tiny little piece and one major piece. And I say to myself, well, it'll balance out over 2 days. I've tried and tried to get them to split in half. But I thought of a simple way to solve that. And I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to do that. To write a story or a poem. Are you listening over there, Nancy? Not Nancy, Rachel. Are you listening to me? Oh, you're a good girl. Compose music with sound effects. I did that once when I was teaching some kids. I used the piano for the sound effects and put original music on it. At that time, it was about Born Free. Read a story on CD from a child's book, and then contact the local association for blind children and tell them you have a CD that you made free of charge that you'd like the children to hear. You know, you'd be surprised how little things like that explode. But it's something some child might pick up on it and say, boy, I could do that. Is it a little blind child listening to a story? Publish your own newspaper. Create your own internet site. I mentioned that to Lloyd a couple years ago. We don't have to look at Facebook. You can have your own. And the last one for our little girls would be teaching them to sew. Now, some of these things would take time from the adults. But boy, think of the difference for a little girl. Teaching her to sew. I remember one of the Ayala girls used to make her own clothes. You can do that. As opposed to watching the witches and the ogres and the werewolves and getting filled with that stuff. Just a tip to the wise. Shall we stand? And we're going to take communion, so the elders, I'm giving you a chance to unlax. You can be seated when you will. Or if you want to pray about this born again thing, and if you come to the altar, that doesn't mean you're not born again. You just want to pray and say to the Lord, you know, I'd like to talk to you. I've been in the church a long time, but I don't often just stop and say, hey, Jesus, what's going on? He likes to be talked to that way. Hey, Jesus. Sometimes I say to the Father, me and Jesus are going to work together today. That's impolite, I know. But if you love the Lord, he knows it. And you get away with most anything. Me and Jesus. Let it be me and Jesus today as you take communion. Hey, Lord. Let's live today together. You and me. He'll pick you up on that. Okay, you may be seated. That you would give your body for us, Lord, is more than we can grasp. And I pray each one of us will have a personal relationship with you now and in the coming days. We need to walk with you and be with you and hear you in all matters of our life. So if any person is at all unsure, Lord, I pray this day that this bread will be to them your presence. I pray in Jesus' name shall we partake. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. Shall we hold the cup before the Lord, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, you know our wrestling with sin. And you know, Lord, that by your power we can overcome the tendencies of our soul. So I pray that this day, this blood will help us enter our soul and write your eternal law in there, so that we can live without sinning. I believe that, Lord, and I pray it will be true for each person within the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, shall we partake. Now, don't leave the altar until you strike fire. You know, this sounds crazy, but I'd like to hear that song again, Praise the Lord. Have you got that on tap there, Lloyd?
Can I just make a comment, a sharing? Pastor said the other day, and you know, we've been serving Lord a few years, maybe 7 years. And you need to be reminded. So I'm reminding you what we just got reminded of. We were having all kind of harassment, little stuff, you know, whatever. And the Lord said to him, how long are you going to put up with this? Now, how many of you lay over and play dead and try to bullet through it? Or how many say, in the name of Jesus, when we serve? So I just wanted to exhort you, and I'm kind of excited. It's time to wake up.
and begin to be again.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen. Amen. Glory.
Didn't seem fair. I was the only one.
It's a new day. We're entering the third day of Hosea. I'll tell you the truth. And there's power in that day to release us from Satan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. I'm not going to ask you to stand because this video is kind of long, but I thought it would give us a good uplift. Bill Gaither singing Praise the Lord. Are you ready to praise the Lord? Let it roll. That's all anybody can do. Bill Gaither has given us troubles today. Did you understand what Audrey's saying? The things that have troubled you. The Lord says, how long do you want to put up with it? Let it go. Tell the Lord today it goes. He's got the power.
Fear. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He will work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they remember that Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers, when he knows himself that we're children of the King. So lift up the mind.